Since 1983, Nissan has been building award-winning vehicles right here in America. And this summer, they're making it easier to drive one home. No new tariffs, just lower MSRPs on the Rogue and Pathfinder. So you can get the car you want at the price that feels right. But don't wait. These deals are only here for a limited time and while supplies last. See why Nissan is number one for new vehicle quality among mainstream brands. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at the time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Luigi Mangione, the man accused of being the United Healthcare worker, has been indicted. We're about to bring you the audio from that press conference from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which sheds more detailed light on the killing and what led up to it. Let's go to that audio right now.
Good afternoon. I'm Alvin Bragg, Manhattan District Attorney. I'm honored and privileged to be joined by Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch. First and foremost, I want to extend my deepest condolences to Mr. Thompson's loved ones and colleagues. His family deserves our respect as they continue to grieve. Our work will never be able to undo the fact that a life was lost. We are here to announce that Luigi Mangione, the defendant, is charged with one count of murder in the first degree and two counts of murder in the second degree, including one count of murder in the second degree as an act of terrorism for the brazen, targeted, and premeditated shooting of Brian Thompson, who, as you know, was the CEO of United Healthcare. This case was made possible by the collaborative efforts of the phenomenal public servants you see before you today and so many others who are not here. I'm honored to lead the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and privileged to serve alongside Assistant District Attorneys Joel Seidman, Kristen Bailey, and Zachary Kaplan, who were working from the outset hand in hand with the greatest police department in the world. The chief of our trial division, Lisa Del Pizzo, and the deputy chief, Chris Prefos, provided sage oversight and direction. And I want to acknowledge our high technology analysis unit. There was a lot to be processed here, Steve Moran in particular, who heads that, and Marco Popic. We are privileged here at the DA's office to work every day with the phenomenal public servants at the NYPD. It has been a distinct pleasure to work besides Commissioner Tisch, an exemplary partner, and Chief of Detectives Joseph Kinney. Almost every day we're in touch, and his leadership is second to none. And then Deputy Commissioner Rebecca Weiner, who, as I tell her, there are a lot of challenging things happening in the world, and I sleep better at night knowing that she is the Deputy Commissioner in charge of terrorism. The detectives on this, out doing the courageous frontline work, Detective Oscar Diaz, Detective Curcio, exemplary, the finest. It wasn't just those of us here in New York. I want to acknowledge the great work of our partners in Altoona, the Altoona Police Department, the Blair County District Attorney's Office, the governors of New York and Pennsylvania, the FBI, and of course, the brave members of the public who answered the call when our great commissioner put out the call for their assistance. This was a frightening, well-planned, targeted murder that was intended to cause shock and attention and intimidation. It occurred in one of the most bustling parts of our city, threatening the safety of local residents and tourists alike, commuters and business people just starting out on their day. Let me say a bit more about the charges. They include one count of murder in the first degree as a killing in furtherance of terrorism, two counts of murder in the second degree, one charging that the killing was done as an act of terrorism, and the second pertaining to the fact that the killing was intentional. The maximum penalty possible for murder in the first degree and murder in the second degree as an act of terrorism is life without parole. The maximum penalty for murder in the second degree is 25 years to life. There are additional counts as well. A number of criminal possession of weapon charges, two counts in the second degree, four counts in the third degree, one count in the fourth degree, and a count of criminal possession of a forged instrument in the second degree. Let me tell you a bit about the facts. On November 24th, we allege that the defendant arrived in New York City to murder Brian Thompson. After the defendant arrived in New York City on a bus at Port Authority, he checked into the hostel on the Upper West Side using the name Mark Rosario with a fake New Jersey ID. On the morning of December 4th, the defendant left the hostel, just after 5:30 a.m. and traveled to Midtown. For nearly an hour, we allege the defendant waited in the area near the Hilton Hotel, waiting for Mr. Thompson to appear. From 6:38 a.m. to 6:44 a.m., the defendant stood across from the entrance of the hotel on West 54th Street. When he saw Mr. Thompson, he crossed the street and approached him from behind. We allege he then took out a 9mm 3D printed ghost gun, equipped with a 3D printed suppressor, and shot him once in the back and once in the leg. The defendant then fled northeast on 54th Street and took an e-bike uptown before getting into a taxi that took him to West 178th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. On December 9th, the defendant was spotted at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. The local police were notified, he was arrested, and he was found with a 9mm handgun, a suppressor, two ammunition magazines, and the same fake New Jersey ID he used at the hostel. I want to say a word about ghost guns. These weapons are increasingly proliferating throughout New York City and the entire country. Involving technology will only make this problem worse. Last year, over 80 ghost guns and ghost gun parts were recovered in Manhattan alone. The NYPD and the Manhattan DA's office have been leading in the interdiction of these ghost guns. And one thing I want to make clear, they are unserialized, they can be printed out, but as this case tragically makes clear, they are just as deadly as traditional firearms. This will remain a priority for us here in Manhattan. Finally, I know there have been questions about the extradition process. The latest that I can offer you is that the defendant is currently scheduled to appear in court in Pennsylvania on Thursday morning, first for a preliminary hearing on his Pennsylvania charges. Immediately to follow that will be an extradition hearing. We have indications that the defendant may waive that hearing, in which case he'd be brought to New York forthwith. In any event, we have been preparing on parallel paths, and before the hearing, we'll send to the governor of the state of New York the paperwork that would be necessary if he does not waive during that hearing. I now want to turn over to our great commissioner, and when I do so, I wanted to thank her for her partnership, not only on this matter, but on all we do every day together. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. The unsealing of today's indictment brings us one step closer to securing justice for Brian Thompson and his family, and affirming the primacy of the rule of law in the city of New York. NYPD detectives worked tirelessly to piece this case together. And along the way, the Manhattan DA's office made sure we had every legal tool available to us. Whether quickly providing subpoenas to assist with our evidence collection, or traveling with us to Altoona, Pennsylvania last week after the apprehension, our partnership made this a successful investigation. So I'd like to thank District Attorney Bragg and his team for their work in bringing this case forward. Part of that work included the relentless collection and analysis of surveillance video by our detectives, which ultimately produced a clear image of our suspect. That image was shared far and wide through the media, and thanks to an observant McDonald's customer and the employee who alerted the police, Mr. Mangione was quickly brought into custody. This outcome is why we always emphasize the critical role of the public in our public safety mission. So again, I want to thank everyone who saw something, said something, and did something. That is why we have a suspect in custody today. As DA Bragg said, Luigi Mangione is now formally charged and indicted for murder. And let me be perfectly clear. In the nearly 2 weeks since Mr. Thompson's killing, we have seen a shocking and appalling celebration of cold-blooded murder. Social media has erupted with praise for this cowardly attack. People ghoulishly plastered posters threatening the CEOs, other CEOs, with an X over Mr. Thompson's picture, as though he was some sort of a sick trophy. And yesterday, the New York Post reported that some extreme activists were circulating a deck of cards with other most wanted CEOs to be targeted for assassination. These are the threats of a lawless, violent mob who would trade in their own vigilanteism for the rule of law that protects us all. Let me say this plainly. There is no heroism in what Mangione did. This was a senseless act of violence. It was a cold and calculated crime that stole a life and put New Yorkers at risk. We don't celebrate murders, and we don't lionize the killing of anyone. And any attempt to rationalize this is vile, reckless, and offensive to our deeply held principles of justice. Now, as we await the extradition process in Pennsylvania to complete, we continue our public safety work here at home. That includes our focus on the growing threat of ghost guns, one of which was used in this attack. The NYPD remains committed to tracking down and removing these untraceable weapons from our streets. And we will do that work hand in hand with District Attorney Bragg here in Manhattan and in every other borough to ensure that those who possess, distribute, and use these weapons are held fully accountable. Finally, I want to again thank every member of the NYPD, uniform and civilian, working on this case, led, of course, by our great Chief Kenny, whether in Midtown North Squad, Homicide, Crime Scene Unit, Intelligence Bureau, and everywhere else. All of you contributed to today's indictment, and you've brought the Thompson family one step closer to justice in this case. Thank you.
Sure. So, you know, in its most basic terms, This was a killing that it was intended to evoke terror. And we've seen that reaction. The statutory elements we can go into, but its most basic term, that's what this is. This was not an ordinary killing, not to suggest that any killing is ordinary, but this was extraordinary. The New York State Legislature has set out both the paths that we talk about, both the murder one and murder two. And this, we allege, is certainly squarely within those statutes, which talk about intending to do exactly what we saw happen here.
Anthony?
Maybe Chief Penny could get into this, but I'm wondering sort of the timeline between December 6th, when the FBI was notified by the San Francisco police about this missing person that was called in from Luigi's mother, the time that they contacted you about. Were you aware of this when he was arrested, or was this something that was still being processed at the time?
So the original missing report took place back in November 18th in San Francisco. The sergeant that was involved in that case reached out to the San Francisco field office and said, hey, basically, I'm working on a missing case. I saw the photograph that was distributed by the NYPD. There bears a resemblance. That tip was forwarded to us close to 45 hours after the incident took place. It showed up to a TFO, which is a task force officer. We have NYPD officers embedded with the FBI. They received that tip. It was one of four tips that they had received that day, and they were vetting it. Part of that vetting process was that they reached out to Mangione's mother in San Francisco very late on the 7th. They had a conversation where she didn't indicate that it was her son in the photograph, but she said it might be something that she could see him doing. So that information was going to be passed along to the detectives the next morning, but fortunately we apprehended him before that we could act on that.
The commissioner has talked about how the defendant's been lionized and celebrated. I'm wondering how concerned you are about a potential jury knowing that someone on that jury would be someone who would lionize and celebrate him.
Well, I want to echo the commissioner's words and concerns, which I think were put forth beautifully. I mean, we see a lot in these jobs. I meet with the families of homicide victims, and I just can't wrap my head around the notion that someone is celebrating this. To your specific question, we're at the beginning of a litigation now with our charge. We have a phenomenal trial team in place, led by ADA Joel Seidman, who has been in this office for more than 40 years and handled some very challenging matters. We have a wide-year process in place. I have faith in our jury system to select 12 people who can be fair and impartial, but we'll move forward, and that's something well down the road, but we'll be ready when that time comes.
Two questions, if possible. One will be about Mr. Thompson's family. But first, I want just maybe to explain more to viewers how you come to the conclusion that this is a terrible. I think it's an important part of this. And so I'm hoping maybe you can explain that a little more, just sort of define the statute here.
Sure. And the statute talks about attempts to influence or coerce a civilian population. The statute talks about intending to influence a policy of government, and it talks about seeking to put forth things sort of similar to that by murder. The statute, the plain language of the statute is clear. Obviously, we've charged it, the grand jury has voted on it, and we intend to go forward and prove it. But I think it does help to take a step back and think about the proof in the case, some of the writings. I'm not going to get into too much of that, but and the actual reaction. In the middle of Midtown, the beginning of a busy day, tourists, commuters, business people, the intent was to sow terror.
And if I could just on Mr. Thompson's family, you know, sadly, as you say, not a lot of focus has been given to Mr. Thompson or his family. I'm wondering if the services folks, or any of the folks in your office, have been talking to them about what that's been like. Is there anything you can say about that?
I'm not going to talk about communications with the family other than to say that we have a robust survivor services staff here that is second to none, but I would not talk about communications with any family. I don't think it'd be appropriate, but I appreciate your concern.
Well, it's just because, like you're saying, there's been so much focus on the suspect. Yeah. It's quite different than
I echo what the commissioner said, and the sentiment of your question, my heart goes out to it. I mean, this is a significant piece of what we do here is we center the trauma of survivors and victims and their families. A significant piece of what I do is sit across the table and look people in the eye and when appropriate, if they want to, offer a hug. And we have dedicated advocates and counselors and great staff that focuses on that. So I agree completely with you, and I wish that that's where the public's focus was exclusively. That's where it should be. That's where it is here, in addition to obviously the facts and the law and the case. But because of respect for where your question is coming from, I'm not going to get into communications.
Given the celebration of the wondering if the NYPD is
Yes, absolutely. And we've seen a real increase, sustained increase since December 4th in concern, not just from CEOs, but from corporations broadly. And so going back to the DA's point, you know, the intent to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, which is, of course, at the root of our state terrorism statute, is very much borne out in this reaction. And for good reason. We've had a torrent of online threats. We've had real-world activity that the police commissioner flagged, which is abhorrent, and it causes concern. So we have done a lot to work with corporate security partners with whom we partner on a daily basis in this city, at the city level, at the state level, trying to make sure that everybody has the best practices that they need, that they know where to flag not just general ambient concerns, but specific threats that they might be receiving, that a few weeks ago they might have written off as just noise in the online environment, that they now take seriously. So these are ongoing conversations that we have, and thanks to all the work that we do together every day, we're quite confident that concerns and threats are going to be appropriately directed our way.
We're going to take two more. Yep. Describe just how rare it is for your office to charge with first degree murder. There has been some talk about how violence very specific cases in Manhattan. And also, if you could speak to the statements made on the record by the suspect that informed this timeline in particular, because maybe it's incriminating or statements that happened.
So I'll address the first piece. The first-degree murder statute has a number of subsections. They're sort of clearly delineated, and they are reserved for, the most abhorrent conduct, killing a police officer, serial killing, and the terrorism is one subsection of that. I would say, fortunately, that's not happening a lot. Taking a step back, I can't think of another office that is more equipped to handle a terrorism charge. We have a great terrorism unit. We were at the forefront of getting the statute passed. Within the last 2 years, we've tried two very significant terrorism cases, one involving an English-speaking operative based in Jamaica, and another involving someone who was here and funding overseas terrorism by cryptocurrency. So we have the expertise, and as I mentioned, the expertise on this team, and so we're prepared to go forward.
Can I have other statements?
Yeah, I'm not going to go beyond what's in the filing.
All right, last question, Laura.
Are you able to describe to say now, I will take the case, but that you will be seeking the maximum sentence from the
So as a matter of practice, I don't talk about sentencing outside of court for, as a first matter, and certainly not at the initial stages of a matter. But I think you can tell the seriousness with which we take this matter by the way in which it's charged. The murder in the second degree actually has a mandatory life without parole sentence, no discretion for the judge at all. So that's the maximum there. But I'm not going to go beyond that. We will first get the defendant to New York. We will have him arraigned. We will be before our judge. We will engage in pretrial litigation. If there's a trial, we're ably equipped to do that. And then we will proceed to sentencing, at which point we'll make our arguments in court. Thank you all so much.
That was the Manhattan DA addressing what is going on in the Luigi Mangione case right now, announcing his indictment on first degree and second degree murder charges. There is a lot more to come in this case. We are going to continue to cover it for you. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of those breaking updates. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
Well, they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.